My name is Alicia Sell. Today is February 7th, 2007. I am interviewing Miss Elizabeth Spulma at Friendship Manor in the chapel facility here. We're going to start by asking some background questions about you, Elizabeth. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Roanoke, Virginia, 8/15/18.
How long did you live in Roanoke for?
From the time I was born until I was about 8 years old.
What streets did you live on when you were here in Roanoke?
Up until 1929, I lived on Bullitt Avenue in Southeast.
Okay.
And then after that, for financial reasons, my mother sold her house, and then we lived in Northwest. I think it was on, no, it would have been Southwest, and I believe it was on Marshall Avenue. And that's about the only one I remember.
Can you tell me about your parents? What were your mother and father's names?
My father was William M. Franklin. My mother was Lydia E. Sprinkle.
And were they born in Roanoke?
No. My father was born most likely in Bedford County. And my mother was born down in Shenandoah Valley. What? Harrisonburg. What's the county there? Rockingham, I believe. And after that, then she lived over in the Shenandoah Valley in the vicinity of Shenandoah. The city of Shenandoah.
What kind of work did your father or and mother do here?
My mother didn't do anything but keep house and try to keep track of me. Other than that, my dad was a sheet metal contractor. He did roofing, metal ceilings and sidings, corrugated 10 buildings, and he did many, many buildings in Roanoke, many things. He put the metal ceiling in all the Cressis buildings that used to be here. It was a department store years ago, and he put all the metal ceilings in those. He had a crew of, well, he had two crews of men that worked for him. He had a truck. He had his own little shop where he took care of things. One of them, two of them, in fact, one was up in their backyard, and the other one was down on 8th Street in Southeast. And he also did work out of the state of Virginia, and also in Virginia, out of the state, out of the city of Roanoke. So,
did he travel a lot to do that work?
He, not a lot, but he did travel, yes. He, I have souvenirs that he would bring back from different places he went, like when he had a job in Norfolk, which I don't know what the particular job nor who it was for was, but he brought back souvenirs for my mom and I, and there I have a big, pretty shell right now, and it was for my mother, but I always claimed it, and I still have it. So, yeah, and well, he was in Chicago that I know of. He worked in Carolina, High Point, North Carolina, and let's see, he worked over in West Virginia, in Charleston, West Virginia. He was in New York. And those are just places I remember off the top of my head without having a lot of detail.
Did you ever go on trips with him ever? Or
not for his work, but we did go on trips, yes.
Okay. Did you have brothers and sisters?
No.
So you were only
child?
Only Did you have extended family living nearby you?
A few, yes. Some cousins and an uncle, a great uncle, Uncle Jim Arthur.
Would you visit with them often, or were you interactive in one another's lives?
Yes, his wife, but Uncle Jim's wife was deceased long before I ever knew him. And he'd be my great uncle. He's my father's uncle. And he came to our house frequently because he had children living in the area too, which were the cousins I'm talking about. And he'd stay weekends and things with us. We visited back and forth. One of the little stories that I remember about him is my dad had a brother younger than he is that died when he was 16 years old. And he had was also training him for the same business that he was in. And he had the patterns and things there and had him make a little tin dresser with a mirror in it. And it looked very Victorian, all the ornate stuff on it and drawers that pulled in and out, everything. And, of course, I was allowed to play with it when I was real young, but I couldn't take it out or do anything with it. My dad valued it highly because he built that, he made that dresser just in the spring of the year that he died in. So it was a keepsake for my father. But anyway, Uncle Jim had spent the night at our house, and I was old enough at the time that I'd like to trace people's hands. So I have on a piece of paper Uncle Jim's hand. And he wasn't feeling well the next morning when he got up. I put it in the dresser drawer, in that little tin dresser drawer, and I always stayed there. And he wasn't feeling very well the next morning. He got up, and that night he died. And I had that dresser with the print of his hand in it for the night he died. And that's kind of a cute little story.
It's wonderful. Can you describe your house for us? For instance, was it brick? Did it have a front porch on it? Did you have a garden?
It was a frame house. It was on a real deep lot, not real wide, but very deep lot. Did have a partial basement and a crawl space under the back end of it. It did have a front porch. It's built on a hill, so at the back door you walked off under the ground. On the front you had to go down steps because of it having been built on the hill. And it wasn't a large house. We had 3 bedrooms, screened-in back porch, kitchen, dining area, living room, and a hallway that went down through the house.
Was it one story?
One story. It was just a little more like a cottage type. And we did have a big backyard. And my dad had fenced the yard in half. And we had, in each half of this space before, we had 4 cherry trees. There was a grape arbor that went from the back door, from this, where you had to go up the steps when you came out off their back porch. There was a grape arbor from that back door all the way up to the alleyway. And at that particular point, in most areas, all the streets were divided with an alleyway in between them. And so it went up to the alleyway where they picked up the trash. No trash was ever set on the front street. And our garage, of course, opened off the alleyway. And he took the old shutters off the house, outdoor shutters off the house, built me a playhouse right by the side of our house next to the bathroom window. And in the summertime, he put a hose on the water faucet in the bathtub, bring it out the window so I could have water in my playhouse.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you have a garden? You said you had the grape arbor. Did you have a garden that you would tend to or that your mother kept?
We had a very small garden that my mother kept on the other side. On the fence divided the lawn. It was grass up to the fence. Then on the other side of the fence, there was a small garden on one side. And on the other side, my dad had built a little house that looked like a little chicken house. Because when we visited her parents, well, they were her foster parents, incidentally. But when we visited them, we'd always come home from the farm with something. And sometimes it'd be a live chicken. And so one time we had 2 chickens out there, and I was delighted to be able to go out and get eggs. I thought that was wonderful. But, yeah, we had kind of a garden, kind of a farmy house in town.
That was wonderful. What kind of activities did you participate in as a young child here in Roanoke? Did you sing in the choir or do any kind of special activities? Or
just the general, went to church, went, you know, Sunday school. Played on the streets a lot. Remember, there wasn't much traffic, and it was safe. That the neighborhoods were clean, safe little neighborhoods. You could go out all night long, and you didn't feel anxiety of something happening. They were just nice neighborhoods. I would say that neighborhood was, it was a working class neighborhood, but I think it was somewhere between middle to upper middle class homes and residents in the area that we lived in.
Did you know your neighbors well? Would you play with their children? Was it a pretty close, tight-knit mm-hmm. neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. We knew everybody from one corner to the next on our block and then around the block. We knew people behind us because I was just across the alley and you were in their backyard. So you talked over the back fence a lot. Yeah, I knew I could name most of the neighbors in that whole street. And at one time, my cousins lived across the street from me. And so that was kind of nice to. But we played tag on the streets, rode our bikes on the sidewalks, skated, and played tag in the street, all those games, everything. Because you could run out in the street and you didn't worry about a car.
Did you have a car growing up?
Yes, we had a car. It was called a Gardner. It was a touring car. You had to put the curtains on it, the isinglass windows. And my dad had a couple trucks that he used in his business. I think I have a feeling they were Ford trucks, but I don't know for sure.
Did you ever ride the streetcars?
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy that? Was that a special treat, or would you do that on a regular basis?
Oh, we did it on a regular basis because my mother didn't drive. And when she'd go to town shopping or go over to Roanoke, where the business section is, we took the streetcars. There were no buses when I was real small. But we went shopping in Roanoke for clothing and all that, yeah, to the movies or whatever the entertainment there was. Roanoke Theater had a lot of stage shows and stuff, and we would go there, my dad and mother and I.
Do you remember how much it cost to ride the streetcar, or if you don't, that's okay. I was just curious.
I don't remember exactly with the streetcars, but I think it was the same later on. I don't remember real early, but later on, when I was older, the bus fare first was a nickel and then it was 7 cents to ride the bus. And you could get a transfer and transfer from one bus line to another, which you could end up in Roanoke and you could get a transfer and end up in Salem or Benton and go all for 7 cents.
Wow. okay, well, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about your education. Where did you go to elementary school, middle school, and high school?
The first school that I remember is Belmont, which was there in southeast in Roanoke. And from there, then Jackson Junior High, which was out on 9th Street. It was a junior high, actually. Then by that time, then my mother was married again, so then I was going out on Williamson Road, like to William Fleming and out there. And then I graduated. I went to visit my grandparents, and they had a little, my grandmother had this is her niece, I think, Cora Campbell, which was my age. And I went over to stay with her for a while, just playing with her, and she started school, and I asked if I could go with her, and so they let me do it, and I transferred down there, graduated from Stanley High School.
And where is Stanley High School?
Oh, it's down in near Luray, in the Shenandoah Valley.
Did you go to college?
Just to junior college for a couple of years. I went in training. Things happened financially, depression. My father had left me a trust fund. It ran out. My stepfather wouldn't finance me, so I had to drop out of nurse's training.
Where was your, so it was nurse's training that you were doing?
Mm-hmm.
And where was the junior college that you attended? What was the name of it?
I don't remember the name of the first name of that college.
That's okay if you can't remember. Do you remember where it was?
Yeah, you go down towards Hollins out that way. But it wasn't Hollins College. I didn't know you were going to try to get so deep into things that I don't remember.
If you can't remember it, that's fine. We can move on to another question.
I'll have it in my records at home.
Okay. We can look at that and add that to your file. Did anyone in your family, other than you, like, did your mother or father or your cousins that you were close to, did any of them complete college?
I had a couple cousins that did. That's the only ones I know. One was Myrtle Gibson, and that was her married name. She was Wilson prior to that. And then I don't know. You know, after my dad died, we began to lose contact with some of these people, and especially after she married my mother married my stepfather.
Okay.
And I almost said something I shouldn't put on a tape, and I'm glad I thought ahead of time.
Okay, well, when you're growing up at your house in the evening, what would you do as activities? Did you listen to the radio or the television? Did you have a telephone?
We had a lot of things that a lot of the neighbors didn't have. We had one of the early refrigerators, electric refrigerators, with a big round motor thing up on the top of it. And then we also still kept the ice box, and that sat on our screened-in back porch. And yes, we had a telephone. It was on the wall, though. And you had you didn't have to, down at my grandmother's, you had to turn the crank to call the central. On ours in Roanoke, all you had to do is pick up the receiver, and she said, number, please. And so, and all of them were numbers with a letter on them. Like, our telephone number was 2420M. I didn't even remember that. An important thing, I forget. So, anyway.
Do you remember getting your telephone? Was it a big deal, or did you always have one?
And we must have had it when I was real small, because I can't remember them putting that in. I do remember when they bought the refrigerator and brought it in, though.
Was your mom excited about that?
Oh, yeah, she was real happy to have that, because she thought, now she won't have things spoiling. And for the, we still used the ice box. We bought ice from the ice truck. That was delivered to your house. The first ones I remember was pulled by a horse, and they sold ice in 25-pound cuts up to 100. For the use in the house. And we've always bought like 25 or 50. It would be one of those. We never bought the 100 that I remember. And the kids would chase the ice truck, run along beside it on the sidewalk as it went down, stopped for the houses, until the guy would finally get sick of having us there and kidding with us and talking to us, break off a chunk of ice and give it to us, and we'd go away real happy sucking on a piece of ice.
Did you listen to the radio in the evening as a family, or?
Not really. We had a radio quite early, and I don't remember a time that, I do vaguely remember a time that we didn't have a radio, but not too well. But then, we didn't make a habit of that. We did sit on the front porch a lot, watch the neighbors go by, the porch swing, talk to the neighbors, they'd stop and chat. And our porch swing was made from the front seat of an old Model T Ford. It was leather, the seats out of the Ford. And if you raise up the cushion, you could still, there was still the wood under there that held the cushions, and the place that you lifted up the lid to fit the battery down in.
Oh, my.
But that was the most comfortable swing. You know, Dad had put it in a good frame. And had those leather seats. They were black leather seats, tufted back with the buttons in it and chains. I loved that thing. I would much rather have had that than some of the modern swings that some of the other people had.
They're not as comfortable now, I bet. Did you, a spouse or sibling or any of your children, did you serve in the military?
Just my husband.
And what war did he serve in?
World War II.
And you said he was a survivor of D-Day, is that correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was on an LST, he was assigned to an LST, it was landing barge, landing ship, troops.
What kind of work did you have to work while he was away at war, or were you married at that point?
Well, we got married while he was in service. I got married. We were married in 1943.
Did you work while he was away, or did you work?
I had gone to Norfolk to take a job in a hospital down there, but because of the training that I had, it made it, that was an easy job for me to get. and at better pay than, say, like a nurse's aide or something of that sort. And I discovered how much more I would, how much better my salary would be if I worked for the government. So I got a job in the Norfolk Naval Air Base. And it was there that through them, through my through mutual friends, that I met John, my husband. And in 43, then we were married. And I went back to, came back here to Roanoke when he shipped out. For, that was in the European theater first. And when he shipped out for Europe, I came back to Roanoke and stayed here. And whenever he was free, or he, you know, come into town, I visited him while he was in New York at Lido Beach. And see, is that the only place I went? Yeah. And then after that, when he came back here, well, he had a 30-day survivor's leave. And we went up to come to Michigan to visit his mother. And his dad's dad had been dead. His dad died when he was just, in fact, he died, I think it was in February, before he was born, in August. And so we came back and visited his mother and his one sister that he was particularly close to. And they took us way up north in Michigan, up to the cottages, and we were fishing and hunting and doing all that stuff on his 30-day survivor leave. And he went, then when he got his final discharge in 1945, and we went back to Michigan to live.
Okay. Let's come back to Roanoke for a little bit and talk about, did you have a fond childhood memory that you'd like to share? For instance, a favorite holiday, a favorite vacation, or a favorite gift you were given?
There were so many things like that. Too many of them to even talk about. One of the things that I remember, and I think because of my mother's pictures having been destroyed when the water leaked on them, I didn't have the pictures they took of it, but was that my dad liked parties, doing birthday parties for me, and they were always sort of elaborate. And I remember those birthday parties as much as anything. And I guess another thing that I enjoyed a lot was going to Lakeside in the summertime.
And that was in Salem, correct?
Yeah, Lakeside was in Salem, but we lived in Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of activities did you enjoy doing at Lakeside?
Oh, it was like carnivals came in there and set up. I mean, they had all kinds of rides. And I suppose when I was real little, my dad took me on the Ferris wheel, so that kind of became a favorite with me because it was one of the first things I rode. And they had games and things to play. They had sideshows that I wasn't allowed to go into, too. But they had, like, carnival booths where you could win prizes by throwing a hoop, like a hoop over top of an article, or knocking something down with a ball, or shooting something. And you could pick a prize for doing that. Things like carnival glass. And that was, of course, my mother's thing. If she wanted something, she wanted it to be carnival glass. And then the dolls that they had, too. What were they, the Cupid dolls and like that? They had dolls there that you could win and all kinds of things that you could do. It was fun.
Would you go there in the summers then?
Mm-hmm.
Would you go there
sometimes,
frequently?
And sometimes with a picnic. And when I first went to Lakeside, they didn't have the swimming pool there, but before I left Roanoke for good, they had built a nice big pool, and that was there.
What kind of businesses would your mom and you and your father, what kind of businesses would you use in Roanoke? Where, did you go to the city market?
We went down to the city market frequently, and my thing with my mother is, on the market, they had these open stands where they brought in the fresh fish and laid them on ice. I loved fish, and we'd smell the fish. And I'd go for a whole block, pulling on her arm, saying, "Buy some fish, Mommy, buy some fish." And then the meat market was there, with fresh veggies, all that bit. And we went there quite frequently. And the clothing stores, there was Hieronymus and McBain's, Pew's. were some of the better stores. Cress's were there. That's the one my father put all the metal ceilings and sidings in. And other five and dime stores, like Woolworth, all of those that we went to. We went to the movies downtown a lot, especially the Roanoke Theater. My dad liked stage plays. And I don't know. I can't remember. I know anything, appliances and things like that. Those, I know those stores were down there. I remember them, but I don't really remember buying something in them. But I know they would have shopped them had they needed them. But the clothing stores I remember real well.
Do you remember some of the community leaders? I know you were really young when you lived here. Were there strong community leaders or people within your neighborhood or community who people looked up to?
I can't think of anybody that I was really aware of to, that was someone that we, I don't know that I don't know that anywhere around. I know we all, there was a young a family across the street from us that had a son that became a doctor, and he was quite well thought of, looked up to. I know when I went into, I had to go into the hospital for an appendectomy when, I must have been 7 or 8 years old. And his name was Wanderlust, and I wanted him and nobody else to look at me to take care of me. And I know that most of the neighbors thought he was a real good doctor and liked him. But for somebody other than the ministers and like that, I don't really remember anybody that I thought that to me was outstanding. Now, had I been older, maybe yes. But I mean, my dad filled every thing for me. I really adored my father.
How has Roanoke changed since you moved away and then came back? You said you'd hardly recognize it.
You don't want to know that. Oh man. When I thought about coming back here, I thought, well, it'd be sort of like homecoming, you know. I'd find familiar places and familiar things. And I it's really hard to find something that's familiar, that hasn't been moved, changed, torn down. And the streets are not the same anymore. New subdivisions, new development all over. The people have changed. It seems that in the culture, it seems that it's their standards and their values have changed. Even the people just aren't the same. They're still nice, they're still friendly, and a few of them still know what Southern hospitality is, but many of them don't. But at any rate, It was really a shock. It was, for an example, my cousin once lived out on what was Mason Creek Road, and later it became Hirschberger. And when I went out there to visit her, even later, this was like when my husband and I came home for a visit, and it would have been in the 70s and 80s. It still dead ended at Williamson Road. It didn't cross over and come out here where this facility is. And there was nothing here. Well, later on, there was a big florist. What do you say? He was a florist. He had plants and sold plants and everything out here. And my sister remembers that real well, but by the time that got here, I had left Roanoke, so I don't remember that as well. But it's really different. And you go through the neighborhoods that were once safe, clean, middle class, working class, nice neighborhoods. You wouldn't mind living there. For an example, as far as living on Bullitt Avenue in Southeast again, it would be the last place you'd go if you could afford to live anywhere else, because it's all changed that much. It's almost overwhelming sometimes. And I don't find my way around town yet real well. I mean, new shopping malls, new shopping centers, And where you find something that is familiar, and is old, and shows it's crowded in the midst of all the new things, bigger, more modern buildings, modern businesses and whatnot, and they look degraded and they look out of place, as if they don't belong in the time and space that they're occupying now. I mean, I know on the corner from the house that we lived in Southeast, down on the corner of 8th Street and Bullitt Avenue, there was a mom-and-pop grocery. It was a family-run thing. And McGee's. And they did pronounce it Gee. They didn't say McGee either, as some people do. But anyway, and I can remember going down there for ice cream cones and penny candy. And they had a son named James that worked there in the store when he was just a young man. But to me, he was grown up because I was just a little kid. And he'd be so patient with us. We'd go in with a nickel or a dime and go there to the candy counter, roll top, glass top, you know, and all this candy that you could buy for a penny. We'd make that dime go. You wouldn't believe the sack of candy we'd come out with for that dime. Because some things were actually a two for a penny. Like they had those, you're not allowed to call them that anymore, so they were called just chocolate babies, I guess. And which would have, I don't know why black people are offended with the N-word, as they call it, because that was lack of education the way they pronounced it. And why would they object to Negro? I don't know, but they do. And actually, that's the right pronunciation thing. But anyway, they had those little chocolate babies, and they were called Negro babies, and they were two for a penny. So for 2 cents, you get four of those, you know. We'd come out with a great big, they had mint juleps and penny lollipops and chocolate soldiers and... I don't know. I can't remember half of them, but those are some I do remember. Mint julep, I think I mentioned that one.
Would you go to the pharmacies to get soda pops or stuff like that? Do you remember going to any particular pharmacies?
The drugstore was on the corner of 8th Street, as I just told you, in Bullitt Avenue, a couple blocks down, and I believe this was on the corner of Tazewell. I say it was Bullitt, Dale, and then Jamison. And then Tazewell. No, it might have been on the corner of Jamison and 8th Street or Tazewell and 8th Street. Anyway, it was the drugstore with the soda fountain. And honestly, I have never had an ice cream soda that tastes the same as those I had so many years ago.
Were they good?
In that little drugstore. Oh, yeah. And that was where we went also to get all our prescriptions filled and everything. And it was a neighborhood drugstore. Then later, when the chain came in, Jamison's, that was right next door to the drugstore down there. So we'd sometimes go down there instead of going to McGee's for groceries. But when I was real little, it was always McGee's on the corner. So, Mr. Merchant lived up on the corner from us on Bullitt Avenue. He had butcher shop down on the Market Square and operated that all the time. And then he had a little shop on the back of his property. And we'd go up there to buy meat real often rather than to have to go way downtown, especially if you just wanted, say, a pound of bacon or just a little something, you know. We'd go there to get that.
Did you always use him as your butcher then?
When we went down to the market, we'd usually go there, yeah. Huh. These people, these merchants and like McGee's, they were part of the neighborhood. I mean, they went to the same church we did. They had, their kids went to schools we went to. Finally, they built a nice brick home right behind the store. But it didn't look that nice when I went by it the second time, believe me. It's changed, so the Visco plant was still up at the end of 9th Street.
Did a lot of members within the community work at Avisco's?
Yeah. And the streetcar ran all the way up there. Up to the, right to the plant, into the plant and back. And another thing with the streetcar that I used to like to do, we could take streetcar out to Lakeside. And then from Lakeside, you could take, they had the, the trolley car that went up the mountain, cable car.
Oh, the incline, Mill Mountain Incline?
Yeah, the cable car. And it went up to where the star is, only the star wasn't there. What was up there then was just a big lookout tower. And finally from that, they got it to a telescope type thing. You could go, so I think eventually they got to the point where you had to put a nickel in the telescope in order to look out over the town. But yeah, I loved going up that, you said incline, and that's the first time I thought of that. Yeah, they did call it the incline, but it was a cable car. It was a streetcar that went up there.
And you could use your transfer for that cable car?
Not for the cable car, no. But anywhere else. Like, we could go out to Lakeside, we could go to Salem, we could go to Vinton, using that transfer. Go all over. Well, in fact, later on, when I was a little bit older, and we were old enough to ride the buses and streetcars alone, because for a while they overlapped. We'd have streetcar and bus both. And eventually the streetcar was gone. But anyway, the passes that you could buy for the buses, excuse me, they cost $1 a week for a whole week. And our parents, or sometimes just the fathers, or somebody would have a pass to ride the bus with. And they'd let us kids have them. They expired on Sunday. They were done on Sunday, but they always got the new ones on Saturday. So they'd give us the old one, and we'd take it and ride on the buses on Sunday to the end of the line, turn around, come back, get another bus, and go to the end of the line, and spend Sunday afternoon riding buses. That was during the Depression days when nobody had a lot of money.
So it gave you a way of getting around and getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Well, we're pretty much at the end of the interview, but before we close, is there anything else that you'd like, a story you'd like to share with us, or something we didn't cover that you would like to talk about?
Not this time, no. I've talked enough.
Okay.
Oh, there's all kinds of things that I remember. My mother sometimes was, my mother's deceased now, but she used to say that, well, how can you remember that? I can remember things that I did as a child better than I can remember something I did last week. But anyway, there's so many things like that that I can think of. Things that are interesting that people don't know anything about now. So many people don't know anything about what Lakeside might have been or what it was like. And like where the library is built now. That was at first just a private house turned into a library. I've forgotten the name of the people, you might know.
The Terry Building.
Yeah, and it was her home. And set up on kind of a raise in the park, and that little hill, like, seems to be gone. I don't know where it went. But the park was pretty. It had the big pool out as you came in on the east side of the park down there. They had swans and ducks in the pond. And an old cast iron type fence that went around it. And I remember the park. I also remember that my mother was ill, and my dad's cousin was taking care of me while she was in the hospital. She took me to the park one afternoon, and she didn't watch me as closely as she should. She did probably didn't realize how nosy I was and how many things I could get into. And I was really small then. I must have been, I may have been only around 5 years old. I don't know if I was in school yet or not, but this was summertime anyway. And I was watching the bigger girls on the merry-go-round, the kind that had the chain come down and you run around and swung out on it with your feet, you know. They hit me in the head with her feet, knocked me right out cold. When I came to, I was laying on her, my head on her lap with a wet, cold, fat handkerchief on my head.
And that was in the Elmwood Park?
Elmwood Park, it sure was.
Did you go to the library in the Terry Building ever? Do you remember going to the library?
Oh, I remember. I don't know what. I can't remember. Imagine you calling at the Terry Building. That must have been something that came about after I left here. Because it was never called that. And it was just a house, a dwelling. And yes, I did. I've read all my life. I've been a reader, and I went down there constantly. I was interested in stamps one time, and I went down and asked the librarian to help me with the book to identify some stamps I had. Well, I'm glad I did, because I still had the stamps. They were old, and they were, if you were a collector, they were worth something. But she says, "Well, what do you want with that book?" Promptly told her, "Well, I've got some stamps. I want to know what they are." She gave me something to look at. But then another time I went down, this is after we'd moved off Bullitt Avenue now, and we were living there, I think, on that Marshall Avenue I told you about. And during Depression days, I didn't have money enough for car fare. And I walked down from there down to the library on Jefferson Street. And got the books that I wanted and came back home with them, but it was a real hot summer day. And I was coming back home right around noontime because they were eating lunch when I got home. So I got home, washed my hands, wiped my face, sat down to the table, and got a horrible nosebleed from the heat. And I mean, incidents like that, I remember them. And why? They weren't important. just things you remember. About the days, those days. But, oh yeah, we used to do a lot of things during the Depression, like roller skate on the sidewalks, you know, just a bunch of us get together and do them. And remember when I was real little, trying to do the Charleston, the dance that we were at, and things like that.
That's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for participating, and we will close the session.
Well, I think you should be tired of it by now. I have talked too much anyway.
No, your stories are wonderful.
I thank you for being interested anyway.